My own brother? There we go. Thank you. All right. Good morning, everybody. I kind of want to go to children's church. Anybody else? Amen. That was a blessing, brother. Appreciate you. I hope hearing his testimony about this morning will spark some interest in the announcements that were just made, because there's children out there that are they need you as a church. I mean that. And I know at our home, I mean, Christmas is, it's downright out of control. I mean, parents, we give our kids so much at Christmas, it is crazy. And I like to be able to do it. I praise the Lord. But we need to get our minds off of that. And we need to see some, there's some people out there we need to help and we need to support, all the way from the shoeboxes, which is a blessing. Right. I don't know where she went, but from the shoeboxes to what's going on with the bus ministry to the rest of it, I'm telling you, give. I'd go to my kids today, listen, church, sit down with your kids today and say, you know, we are thinking about X amount of dollars, but what if we lower your amount and give this amount to the bus ministry? It'd be good. It'd be really good. And help. Let me say that again. I got one amen off of that. It'd be really good to do that. Yeah. There you go. Praise the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 5. I love this church. Outside of New Manna Baptist Church, this is one of my favorite places to be. I don't say that. I really mean that, but I love being in this place. If y'all could get rid of Brother Jesse, I'd come back more. I really mean that. So, all right? So, I love you, Jesse. I love you. Yeah. We ate some Mission barbecue yesterday. That's good stuff. We don't have Mission barbecue down in the South. We've got good barbecue, but we don't have Mission barbecue. Man, it was Veterans Day. How about our veterans, huh? Amen. And Mission barbecue was packed full of veterans yesterday. I just walked around as I would get drinks and everything for the kids and whatnot. I would just walk around and shake hands. Man, I praise the Lord for our veterans. I really, really mean that. So praise the Lord. If you're in here and you're a veteran, thank you. I mean that. We have our liberties today of going to church because of you. There's a lot of countries that hate us, and that's because we're a Christian nation. And we are. We are a Christian nation. It's what we are founded on. And so I praise the Lord. So thank you to all of our veterans. It's Veterans Day weekend. Here we go. 2 Kings chapter 5. Going to talk about Naaman just a little bit here. And let me say this time out. I'm sorry. I will get to this. Thank you so much for letting my wife come and speak this weekend. Amen. I really, really mean that. Y'all had the right lady for the job. Amen. I mean that. She is real, and I love her so much. And she raises our kids for the Lord. And I know she did a good job for your teenage young ladies and for you moms that were here yesterday as well. And that's a big deal for me. And so she does appreciate it as well. But thank you for having my wife in to do that. And I'm just getting in on it, being able to preach for you guys this morning. I had a good time. I talked to the teen Sunday school boys this morning. But thank you so much for having us in this weekend. I just, every opportunity we can to be at Faith Baptist Church, this is our roots. This is our roots. I mean that. We wouldn't be at New Manna today if it wasn't for your pastor and for this church. And so we love you guys. All right, here we go. Let's get to the preaching. I realize the time. It's your clock back there ain't on daylight savings time. Did y'all realize that? Don't you think every Sunday should be daylight savings time? Did y'all get that, man? Get an extra hour of sleep every Sunday. I think that would be fair. I know it would mess everything up. I just want that extra hour, you know? Here we go. 2 Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable because by him, the Lord, God had used Naaman, and I don't want you to get over that, which he didn't know it, but because by him, the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. This was a great man. This great man had problems. Now, anybody in here have a problem this morning? Any of you at all? I tell you, yes. I think that each and every one of us have problems in here this morning. Problems, here's the problem with problems. Problems are not out of the hands of God. Problems affect our thinking. Let me say that, okay? And the best thing that you can do when you're having a problem is just give your mind to God. Now, that's an easy statement, okay? Yes, amen. Give my mind to God. Or your your mind is going to battle you, and I understand that. That's where we fight. My mom right now is over in Tennessee, and my uncle will pass away probably by the end of this week from a brain tumor. He's battling cancer, and it's been a tough, long road for him. His wife is now, he married just a number of years ago, and him and my aunt went through a number of stuff. They divorced. He married again. His current wife, she loves the Lord, has really turned her life over to the Lord. She's battling this problem right now. What happens is whether you're going through a situation like that or you're going through something else, you begin battling your mind. In your mind is where we lose it. Because I want you to understand, whatever you're facing today is not out of the hands of God. Do you understand that this morning? There's no problem that you're facing. The problem that Naaman was having here was not a problem that was too big for God. And let me say this morning. The problem that you're having is not too big for God. You follow me this morning? Look at verse 2. Verse 2 says this. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. She waited on Naaman's wife. Verse 3. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Look over at verse 9. Skip over to verse 9. Same chapter. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him saying, go and wash. I want you to see that again. Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Now watch verse 11. Verse 11 is just like you and I. Okay, here we go. But Naaman was wroth and went away. Naaman just got his answer. Pastor, I don't know what to do. My marriage is falling apart. Or pastor, I don't know what to do. We have this problem in our home. Look at here. Pastor, I don't know what to do. My teenagers are not serving God. It's discouraging me. I don't even feel like I should come to church anymore. Pastor, we're facing this in our home. And pastor will give you the answer right there. But you know what a lot of times is this. I've heard you say that 1,000 times. You just got your answer. You follow me? You just got the answer that you needed to the problem that you're having, that you are so consumed with. You have this problem that you just can't get over. You just got your answer, and you are ticked off because it's not what you wanted to hear. Look at verse 11 again. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, here we go. Here's the message this morning. Behold, I thought. See, I thought it was going to be different than this. One of our youth workers, his wife has left him and has gone crazy. He's got two daughters. Brother Jason, I thought, and he's never said that to me one time. Never said that to me one time. But I know in his mind, he has to be stewing over the fact of, I thought this would be different. I married the girl in the youth group. I have been faithful to church and I'm busy for God. I thought this would be different. But rather than that, can I tell you what he does? He shows up every week and teaches his Sunday school class. He shows up every week and sits in the pew. He never puts the word of God down. And he could look me in the face and say, Brother Jason, I'm not working with these teenagers anymore. Behold, I thought this would be different. And so many times we get to the place where we just look at God and say, behold, I thought this was going to be in a different way. Naaman had his answer. Look here. Naaman had his answer, and he was ticked off about it. Read on in the verse here if you would. Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call. Watch this. He just thought this was going to be this great move of God. You know why he thought, look here. You know why he thought it was going to be different? Because it was about Naaman. That's why. Let me say it again. He thought it was going to be different because he thought it was about him. It's not about him. Look here. It's about God. Look here. It is not about you. Your life is about God, church. Do you follow me on that? Church, I'm here to tell you is many times we take on this, behold, I thought mentality. I thought it would be different. I thought it would be this way. You have your answer in life. He already, Pastor gave it to you this morning. He preached my message. Do you know what it is? It's just consistency. You've got your answer this morning. Listen to me. Don't quit. It's not about you. Your life is about God getting the glory through your life. And can I tell you what? Many times he'll do it through the blessings. Many times he's pouring it on. And that's the place I love to be. But many times, listen to me, you may be going through trials and God is trying to use you, grow you, mold you, do something with you. Don't quit. Look here. Don't quit. When Naaman said, behold, that definition in itself means this. Look at me. All eyes on me right now. That's what he said. You can almost see Naaman by the wording of it, standing at that door, already having his answer, and he did this. Behold. And that man with power, all eyes looked at him right then. And guess what he did? He went on for two verses to say, it's all about me, and I thought it was going to be different. And all those servants looked around, and Pastor, they just thought, you just got your answer, and you're not doing it. You just got your answer, and you're not doing it. The Bible uses that word multiple times. Behold, listen to me. Behold, the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. You know what that was? All eyes on who? Jesus. And our lives are meant to bring glory to God. I'm not here to tell you today that your problems are simple or your problems are easy and to make light of those. Listen to me. I couldn't imagine going through some of the problems of the people in our church. I couldn't imagine what they're facing these days. And I'm not making light of your problems, but I am telling you this. Listen here. Jesus is your answer. Let me say that again. I'm not making light of your problems this morning, but I will tell you this, that faithfulness, consistency, continuing to come to church, keep raising your daughters for God, keep raising your sons for God, stay in. Hey, listen, when you have new opportunities in ministry, get in on them. Amen. You know why? Because it ain't about you, it's about Jesus. Could y'all quit distracting me? I got to read these verses, all right? Good night. We haven't even gotten through the text verses yet. Look at verse 11 again. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike, look there, his God. Got to make it personal, his God, and strike his hands over the place and recover the leper. Are not, you ready for this? Don't you love this? Are not Abana and far up rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Verse 13, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, would thou not have done it? Yes, he would have done it. It was about him. Yeah, you would have done it. What a question. Wouldn't you have? They're trying to get in his head a little bit. How much rather than when he saith to thee, wash and be clean, then he went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Lord, I love you this morning, and I pray that God, you'd use me now. Fill me with your power, Lord. I need you. Lord, I really mean that. Lord, you are wonderful. As my children stood up here and sang that this morning, God, you are wonderful. And God, would you help me this morning, God, to be used of you, God, to make you look wonderful. I don't want to discourage this morning. I want to help. And I just pray for your power and your touch. And I love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. I encourage you today to be careful about your attitude about God. Whatever may be affecting you this morning on your outlook, on your family, on your marriage, on your finances, on whatever you're dealing with this morning, I encourage you on this morning, and that is do not let your attitude become negative about God. Because this flesh many times is going to battle you on those things. But I'm here to tell you is that every problem in your life needs Jesus Christ's help. Do you follow me this morning on that? Every problem that you're going through right now, every single one that you're going through, you need the help of Jesus Christ to get through those, church. Yes, yeah. And what we find so many times is Christians, as they're challenged in issues and in problems, they become bitter at God over those things. Yeah. By the way, I'm a Christian, and that's the way I act about things. And a lot of times my attitude becomes so affected by things in my life. And I'm here to tell you this, is that he's a God that changes not, church. Pastor, he ain't changed. He hasn't changed one bit. And so whatever you're going through today, be careful about the attitude that you have towards God, because what you need in this life is you need God to help you, church. And as we need the Lord to help us, as we grow distant from God, you know what happens? Those problems grow and they get worse and they become worse and worse and worse in our life. And I'm here to tell you, if you take on that behold, I thought mentality, church, I'm telling you, headed in the wrong direction, which is away from the Lord this morning.
Yeah. Amen.
We do not know the mind of God. Let me say it again. Listen to me, church. We do not know the mind of God. Isaiah 55 tells us that his ways are not our ways. And you know what they are? They're higher than our ways. Amen. We had a little girl, 18 years old, graduate from our Christian school last year. Her name was Madison. Madison started coming to our church or to our school, and then started plugging into our church about 2 years ago. She was in 11th grade. Madison, just about 4 or 5 weeks ago, was on I-40 at 2:45 in the morning. What's an 18-year-old doing in a car 2:45 in the morning running around in Asheville, North Carolina? Up to no good is what that is. And Madison and some guy that her mom doesn't even know who he is came over a little hill, and on a four-lane highway, a truck came over going the opposite direction, speeding, and ran slam into her car and killed her right there at the scene. And boy, there's a bomb about to go off in this pulpit. Does anybody else hear that? There's a beeping in here, and it's distracting me. Let me move over here, all right? But Madison, at 18 years old, passed away. We had to do her funeral. We had to deal with the teenagers at our church. It was a shock to our church just a couple of weeks ago. And as Brother Tony and I got in our cars and we went over to visit the mom that was at her house, and she was just grieving, a single mom, and the mom had been through so much and made a mess out of her life, but had given her life back to God. As we sat down with her, that mom's attitude towards the Lord was not negative. That mom's attitude towards the Lord was, I need God in this situation. And I just started thinking, boy, it's not about her. Look here, church, she wasn't making it about her. It was the mistakes I made in my life. And what more could I have done for God in her life? What could I have done for Madison? And listen to me, it's not about us as we go through these things. It's about God looking good, church.
Amen.
And if we get the mindset and the mentality that, behold, I thought this would be different. I thought that this would go differently. Church, you need God, and you need his ways. Don't get over that.
Amen.
Let me give you a couple of things about, behold, I thought. When you begin to have this mindset and this mentality, and it becomes about you, let me say this. First thing is this. Follow the simple plan.
Amen.
Look here. Follow the simple plan. Can I say this? Christianity is not a hard thing. God's calling for faithfulness. I gave you the answer that you're looking for. Did I say life is easy all the time? I didn't say that. I didn't say that. Are all of your problems very simple? No, they're not. Let me tell you what, I've got 7 children. I can't imagine what it's like. I love my 7 children. I hope none of them ever go wayward. I hope none of them ever chase the far country. I hope none of them get out of church. But can I tell you what? If one of them was to step out of the will of God for their life, do you know what my responsibility is? Faith. Faithfulness. Listen to me, if my spouse, God forbid, if Trisha walked out of our house, said, I'm tired of Christianity, I don't want anything to do with it, raise this herd of children yourself. Do you know what my responsibility is at that point? One thing, faithfulness.
Amen.
Listen to me, church, it's more simple than we realize.
Yeah.
And his servants, Naaman's servants, looked at him and said, go and wash. You already got your answer. Can I give you the answer to your problem this morning? You ready for this? It is very simple. Your answer is this. Just stay faithful.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Let me say this again. Listen to me. Your answer is very simple. Stay faithful. Don't quit.
Yeah.
Amen. Don't quit on God. Amen. When the doors open tonight at 6 o'clock, be right here in your pew. Amen. Listen to me. When there's meetings after church tonight, if God's working on your heart, make sure you're there for those meetings tonight after church. Listen to me, teach your Sunday school class. Don't quit doing those things. Show up on Wednesday night. This is a very simple plan, faithfulness to God. Not corporately in your church body, but here's what I mean. In your personal life, stay faithful.
Amen.
Because you know what happens is we quit. And God's looking for faithfulness in your life right now. And all Naaman had to do was, watch this, it was a simple plan. All he had to do was go wash and do what? Be clean. And right now, whatever you're going through, hard or not, wearing you down or not, it's beat you down, it's that problem that always comes up and you're always dealing with it, I'm here to tell you this, is listen to me. Watch that attitude of, behold, I thought, and here's what God's looking for in your life. He's looking for faithfulness. Don't quit. It becomes so difficult to us. We think we can't do this. You can do this. You can make it. Listen to me. God's called us. I realize that it's wearing you down, but here's what I'm saying today. Listen to the instruction that you've already been given, because it's the plan you need to follow. And if you'll follow that plan, if you'll be faithful, I'm telling you right now, God is going to win in the end every single time. Your life, watch this, your life will not be the life where everyone looks at and says, God's been so good, except to that person. You're not going to be it. It will be that at the end result is that God worked in your life and you won. Stay faithful.
Yeah.
But we complicate things. You know what this is? It's easy.
Yeah.
You say, no way, Brother Jason, it ain't easy. It's easy. Telling you that right now. Listen to me. This is easier than we make it. But you know what's happening? You're losing the battle in your mind. You're losing the battle in your mind. This is more easy than we realize. Naaman, the man of God has given you your answer. Church, the man of God's given you your answer. Listen to me. The man of God's given you your answer. And every Sunday, I don't know what the topic is. I don't know what the outline is about. I have no idea the title of his message. But you know what he's trying to do? He is trying to get a hold of your heart. It's all about your heart. And as he tries to be used by God to get a hold of your heart, he's trying to tell you this. Just stay in.
Amen.
Just stay faithful. Just stay faithful. It's an easy plan. The problem's not. Listen here. The problem's not easy. But can I tell you what is easy? The plan. And the plan here is that you have to stay faithful, church. Can I say this? God's not a mean God. Let me say that again, church. Listen to me this morning. God's not a mean God. Pain. Boy, I tell you what, if you live in physical pain, you are mentally beat down all the time. I understand that. I don't live with pain like that. I don't. I tell you, I'm a baby, Pastor, I'm a baby. If I stub my toe, it's like, oh God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's unbelievable. I hate pain. My head is splitting right now. I'm serious. And I could just crawl under this pew and cry and have everybody come lay hands on me. I'm serious, man. I hate pain. So God has not called me to the pain ministry. I promise you that much. But you know what? You know what the Bible says? As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth. Pastor Ryman, you remember what it was to see Caleb laying on all those machines all those years ago? He's 13. He's in here today, but his little body was dying back when he was born in Children's Hospital downtown Washington, D.C., And I tell you what, as I looked at that, Trish had a picture the other day, and she sent a picture to me on my phone. She had found that picture and sent it to me of his little body hooked up to those machines and just tubes everywhere. They had cut his chest open. No painkillers, no nothing. That nurse recognized that his heart rate was dropping, grabbed a scalpel, and cut his chest open. because his lung had collapsed.
Amen.
Still has that scar on his chest today. He'll have it all of his life. And that nurse saved his life all those years ago in that children's hospital. And I'll never forget what it was to look at that child and pity him, wishing I could swap places, wishing I had the power to change it. And can I tell you what? I don't know the mind of God in everything, church. And I don't know why you're going through what you're going through this morning, but I know this much. An almighty God who's got no business having, listen to me, has no business hanging out with a sinner like me. Get this morning. Got no business in his perfect ways, in my filthy ways, my sinful life. I do know this much, that when he looks at me, he pities me no matter what I'm going through.
Amen.
And I know this much, God's heart is broken for you this morning. If you're going through it and the emotional turmoil that you're going through, I'm here to tell you this morning, God cares about you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And can I tell you why God wants you in a pew? Can I tell you why God wants you in his house? It's not your 10%. He don't need it. And it's not just so Pastor Ryman can stand up and say, hey, we had a packed church. Church, can I say something? Look here this morning. This place is packed this morning. I want you to understand that. And if you don't realize that, look here. All the kids are gone already. God's doing something here. God's still bringing in the people. God's still moving right here. God wants you at his house because he cares about you.
Amen.
It's about your fellowship with God. God should have no business with you and I. But watch this. God wants to spend time with you at his house.
Amen.
You walk in those back doors. God's glad you're here. And God gives that man of God a message for you. You know why? Because you're going through it. And God says, I know exactly what they need to hear. How many times you've walked into this church? Look here. How many times do I walk in the back doors of New Manna Baptist Church with a hard heart? Man, I tell you, I'm so bitter towards God. I'm bitter towards things. And God allows me to come in and God says, Jason, I know everything you're going through. And I've prepared that man of God with just the right message that you need to hear. And by the end of that service, you know where I am? I'm on that altar, broken, weeping before an almighty God. You know why? With just one realization, he cares about me.
Amen.
After the way I've acted that week, after the way that I've been, things that I've said towards him, God still wants me in his house. How about that? So when I say this, listen to me, when I encourage you to remain faithful, that's because a God that pities you wants to help you and to fellowship with you. It's an easy plan. It's an easy plan. Follow the simple plan. Number two, don't forget your miraculous past. How'd you get here? Lord, help us. How'd you get here? I mean, we should all walk in the house of God every week realizing God wants to spend time with us and start thinking about how did we all get here?
Amen.
Hey, listen to me. I can tell you about the day that the phone rang back in 1977 in my mom's kitchen and she picked it up and the woman on the other line said, Connie, would you come over and have lunch with me? And that simple phone call changed everything about our lives because my mom went to lunch that day and got saved. How about it? How'd you get here? How'd you get here? How'd you get to hanging out at the house of God? Why aren't you blowing your life on drugs this morning, hungover, just digging yourself around your house, trying to scrounge around looking for the next fix of drugs? How'd you get in God's house this morning? Don't ever forget where you came from. Behold, I thought, God's thinking, behold, how much have I poured into your life?
Yeah.
How much have I given you? How good have I been in your life?
Yeah.
Amen.
Let me tell you what. I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be here this morning. I've got one brother down in Florida in rehab. I got another sister dealing with all kinds of issues over in Southern Maryland. I've got another sister dealing with all kinds of issues over in Southern Maryland as well. All kinds of problems. A brother who's not in church this morning. Why am I up here preaching the Word of God to this church? And I never, ever, ever, ever want to forget my miraculous past. Amen. How did we get here?
Amen. The Lord is good.
Let me tell you what. God took a little girl out of Israel, one little girl, and dropped her in the right house for one reason, so that that little slave girl could look at Naaman's wife and say, you should send your husband to the man of God. That was her whole purpose. That was it. And can you believe it? God saw fit to do all of that and to move that little girl into that right position, just so that she could look at Naaman's wife and say, you should send your husband to the man of God. He'll fix all of your problems.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Who called you? Who just was in the right spot and handed you that track? You know, some of us, I'll tell you this much. Some of us in here, we don't have Pastor Ryman's story. We don't have that. Listen to me, young people. You may not have, and boy, I tell you, I try to get in our young people's head. You may have the story where your mom and dad have drug you to church. Your mom did, your dad did. Somebody brought you, a grandparent. And you start thinking, well, this is just what we do. Who did God use to get a hold of that mom? Who did God use to get a hold of that dad? And that, listen to me, that was God pouring into their life. And boy, what a great outcome it was for you. And let me tell you what, Naaman stood at that door of the man of God who had his simple answer, made it all about him. And the God of the universe had allowed Syria to attack just the right place, take captive just the right girl, drop that little girl in just the right home to get a hold of the ear of just the right lady, who that lady was Naaman's wife, just for Naaman to find out exactly where he needed to go. Bam, 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 he gets to that door, and guess what? After all that, he was making it about him.
Yeah.
Listen here this morning. Don't ever get over what a miracle it is where you are today in your life.
Amen. Amen.
Don't ever get over it.
Yeah.
What's your story? My poor kids have got to be sick at me telling about that 1977 phone call. You know why? It's my story.
Right.
I'll never quit telling it. Amen. You know why? It's good for me to remember. It's good for me to remember. I still, Pastor Ryman, I still love hearing your story. I still do. Lord, so many months ago, a couple months ago, 3-4 months ago, me and Trisha were praying about who to have in. We do leadership sessions for the teenagers at our camp meeting now. It's something new we started. And just clear as day, the Lord spoke to me about having Samson Ryman in. And in October of this year, we had Samson come in and do our leadership session for our teenagers. And you know what? I just sat in the back of that classroom. And Samson, boy, he's grown. Boy, he's grown up and he's matured so much. And let me tell you what. God got a hold of his life when he got a hold of his life. And her life. And young person, don't you ever get over the miracle it is that God came into your home and got a hold of your heart. Parents, listen to me this morning. We may be facing problems that are so overwhelming today, but can I tell you this much? It's a miracle you got here where you are.
Yeah.
It is a miracle. The plan is simple. It's faithfulness. Your past is miraculous. Don't ever get over that. And I'm done. I guess, Jesse, come to the piano if you would, brother. Last thing is this. Always remember God's doing something. I don't know what it is, but church, listen to me this morning. God's doing something.
Yes.
Anything, Jesse. God's doing something this morning. And I don't know what it is, but I do know this much. He cares about you. He does. And he hasn't forgotten about you this morning. And I encourage you, listen, whether you're a young person this morning, you're a mom or dad, or maybe you're just a single adult at this point, is I realize the problems may be so overwhelming. But can I say it plainly? Watch your attitude towards God. Because he's still what you need. Let me say that again. Be careful your attitude towards God, because he's still what you need. Lord, I love you and I praise you this morning. God, thank you. God, thank you that you've made the plan simple, Lord. God, thank you that we all, everybody in here, what a miraculous past, God, that we have, that you brought us to this place. Lord, I thank you that our answers are right before us. God, you give them, Lord, and I love you and I praise you. I pray for those on this altar. I don't know what they're facing this morning, God, but I do know this much. You are their answer. And I pray, and I pray specifically that you would help them, Lord. God, encourage them today. I pray as they leave this place that, Lord, their hearts will be encouraged to go on for you. Bless their homes and be with them as they go through their struggles like we all do. And I love you. You're a good God and you've been good to us. In Jesus' name we pray. You take your time on this altar.